Dave Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 1003, School Shootings and Fascist Groups, part 2. This is being recorded on March 27th of the year 2018. This program will be following on the heels of and bringing into the present discussion that was accessed or contained in For the Record 1002, the bulk of which came from Miscellaneous Archive Show M55, Purdy's Last Stand, the Stockton, California schoolyard shooting. That program, although recorded in 1992, drew on lengthy tape excerpts from 1989, so it is almost 30 years in the past. There are many aspects of that program that I would have nuanced, or of that discussion that I would have nuanced to a greater extent had it been recorded today. But there are some very important points that I think are worth keeping in mind. One, the xenophobic anti-immigrant orientation of Patrick Edward Purdy is something that resonates very powerfully with the alt-right, both in this country and abroad. It is a major feature of the xenophobic agenda of Donald Trump and company. We should note that Patrick Edward Purdy had some contact as yet or never actually explored with the Aryan Nations. We noted in the beginning of that program that a charter member of the Aryan Nations subgroup, the Order, had been involved with a program seeking to not only obtain advanced weaponry, but also to master mind control techniques as well. Whether or not Purdy, who had also been in contact with the Unification Church, was under mind control is something that remains to be determined. I suspect that may well have been the case, and his travels and documentation on the part of 42 different law enforcement agencies, and yet the gaps in his resume also I think, warrant further exploration, although we will not have that, no doubt. The resonance of that event back in 1989 with much of what is happening and has happened, I think, should be taken into account. School shootings have become something of a regular occurrence in this country, and in addition to the profound and I think primarily significant terrorist effects of these school shootings, both on children or on students in the schools and on their parents, should be borne in mind. In fact, I think that is front and center. In, for the record, M55 and, or rather, in Miscellaneous Archive Show M55 and For the Record 1002, the effects on both parents and students of these school shootings was set forth at length. To make a long story short, if you can terrorize an entire society by scaring the you-know-what out of students and their parents, you will have gone a long way toward effecting a society that will accept police state tactics, creeping martial law, and ultimately fascism. Rather than a sudden precipitated event bringing martial law into effect, we are seeing sort of a creeping martial law with the militarization of police forces, with reduced civil liberties, and with some of the truly stunning things that have been either implemented or proposed in the wake of mass shootings, in particular the Parkland, Florida shooting, things like arming teachers or having paramilitary right-wingers stand guard in front of schools. These are things that we are either seeing or have been proposed. I would note that elements of the conspiratorial discussion that I engaged in For the Record M55 almost 30 years ago have now become part of the conspiratorial worldview of some of the very elements that are implicated in precipitating these shootings and that are warning about gun control as part of a martial law scenario. There are elements of truth to that. However, I would note that the martial law contingency plans, which were on the books by the late 80s and which have stayed on the books since that time, involve the deputization of those very same Aryan Nation slash order slash Oathkeeper type paramilitary right-wingers as part of the very martial law contingency plans that they inveigh against. That is something to be borne in mind in a fundamental way, in addition to the psychosocial effects on students and parents of having public schools shot up epidemic fashion that they have been. I would also note that in the calendar year 2018, public education has been under attack for decades by the far right and the GOP. Those two are heavily overlapped. School integration in the 1950s, 1960s, and 1970s was routinely attacked. Attempts at implementing things from sex education courses to tolerance training for minorities and others are things that have long been a focal point of right-wing opposition, and public schools and prayer has been a major focal point of right-wing criticism ever since the Supreme Court ruled that students could not be made to say prayers in public schools. In 2018, Betsy DeVos, the sister of Blackwater founder Eric Prince, is Donald Trump's education secretary, and she is pushing for the continued for-profit college programs. She is not doing much to help students who are taking out loans or will have to take out loans to finance a college education. And she is someone that generally has championed the assault on public education. Public schools, we should note, are a major vehicle for socialization in this society. People in public schools get used to dealing with other people, other kinds of people, ideally in a more tolerant and understanding fashion. But in the sort of fractious environment that we exist in, with the fractious political environment and rhetorical environment that we exist in, the public schools as perhaps vehicles for expressing antisocial and intolerant views of others are something that has become increasingly prevalent. Note again that paramilitary right-wingers are elements that will be called into federal deputization or deputized in the event of the actualization of those martial law plans, with a disintegrating infrastructure, with the weakification of society, perhaps leading to the sabotaging of God knows what, a nuclear power plant or two or three, as the Atomwaffen group has advocated, or the sabotaging of municipal power grids or state power grids. A member of the Atomwaffen group claimed to have had possession of a map of the California power grid in his possession. It would not take that much, whether cyber terrorism or otherwise, to implement a scenario in which local police, even with National Guard or military support, would not be able to maintain the public order. At that point, some of these very same paramilitary right-wing groups that are warning against gun control as a step toward martial law will become the enforcers of that very martial law. In lecture number 3, the militia movement, enemies or pawns of the state, I discussed that particular scenario. I would note that in the event of the realization of such a scenario, these paramilitary right-wingers will indeed be armed to the teeth, and there are those who might wish to have some sort of means of defending themselves against such elements. They will not have it if let's just say, access to things like assault rifles or banned altogether. I do think that background checks and a more intelligent orientation toward the acquisition of such weapons is something that should be engaged in. However, as one associate once noted, when guns are outlawed, only fascists will have guns. And one of the ironies of the current situation is that the very elements who are warning against gun control as a vehicle for continued or for the implementation of martial law are themselves one of the primary elements who will be used in the event of a declaration of martial law, at least according to the plans that Oliver North developed. They will be the very elements that will be implementing such martial law. That is something to bear in mind, and bear in mind also that there won't be any realistic limit on what they can do once they are deputized at a federal level. The Third Reich used local bigots and paramilitary groups to effect much of their ethnic cleansing during the Third Reich, not only because they could not spare frontline combat troops, but it turned out to be very demoralizing to conscripted combat troops to engage in the wholesale slaughter of men, women, children, old folks, what have you. For that reason, the ethnic cleansing was farmed out to groups like the Iron Guard, the Bulgarian National Front, the OUNB in Ukraine, and others. So please take note of what I talked about in For the Record 1002 and also Miscellaneous Archive Show M55. Although it has been close to 30 years since that material was recorded, and although I would have nuanced the discussion far more than I did under the circumstances, I think that it sounded a number of very important themes that resonate powerfully with the school shootings that have been taking place. And as I am speaking this on Tuesday, March 27th of 2018, this past Saturday, March 24th, saw a nationwide day of protest, basically calling for gun control. One aspect, however, of the Parkland, Florida school shootings, which helped to galvanize this, was the Nazi-slash-white supremacist orientation of Nicholas Cruz. Although Nicholas Cruz was initially described as belonging to a fascist group called the Republic of Florida, that has been walked back because of what an instance of what might be called reverse trolling. There was a chat group which had an apparently bogus discussion of Nicholas Cruz's association with the Republic of Florida group, a white supremacist group in Florida, headed up by a guy named Jordan, J-O-R-B-A-N, Jereb, J-E-R-E-B. Because of this, Reports from ABC News and other news outlets, including the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL, eventually took their articles down, basically disclaimed their articles. However, I suspect that the mania about false news led them to overreact to this. I also think that one of the things that has not occurred to an awful lot of so-called progressives and people in the media is that many of the fascists are far more intelligent and cunning than they are. They also are very skilled in online tactics, and I suspect that the reverse trolling of the ROF Nicholas Cruz connection by skilled or internet-skilled white supremacists was an attempt at deflecting attention from this very association. One of the many articles reporting this and then walked back was in ABC News by Aaron Katursky, Noor Ibrahim, Josh Margolin, and Brian Epstein. This from ABC News of February 15th of 2018. Florida school shooting suspect linked to white supremacist group. This from the ADL. And it talks about statements by Jordan Jareb himself, or Jordan Jareb himself, that Cruz was part of his group. Skipping down. The ADL said Republic of Florida leader Jordan Jareb told them Cruz was associated with his group. Jareb, who was based in Tallahassee, said Cruz was brought into the group by another member and had participated in one or more Republic of Florida training exercises like in the Tallahassee area, the ADL said, skipping down. Three former schoolmates of Cruz told ABC News that Cruz was part of the group. They claimed he marched with the group frequently and was often seen with Jareb, who also confirmed to ABC News that Cruz was at least at one point part of that group. How is Jordan Jareb going to walk that back? He said, yep, he's part of the group, which, by the way, is not a big group. I suspect that ABC News, ADL, and others overreacted to the reverse trolling of the alleged Nicholas Cruz ROF link. Another article, this titled, Attorney Florida Shooting Suspect is, quote, sad, mournful, remorseful, and, quote, a broken human being, by Matt Pierce, Molly Hennessy Fisk, and Jenny Jarvie from the L.A. Times of February 14th, notes that the head of the Republic of Florida had apparently advocated Anders Breivik-like lone wolf terrorist incidents in the past discussion. Whether or not he has walked that back, and I suppose that is something that could have been reverse trolled. The fact of the matter is, as we have seen in the past and as we will see again in this program, that school shootings and other acts of lone wolf Viking, what James Mason described as Viking berserker violence, is something that the, quote, alt-right, unquote, or fascist groups are advocating as a means of implementing terror in society as part of the leaderless resistance strategy. Again, how does the leader of that group walk back his statements that, yep, this guy was part of our group? That is something that I find more than a little suspicious, and I suspect that ABC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and others overreacted to that reverse trolling. Certainly, whether or not Cruz was, as Jordan Jareb indicated, a member of the Republic of Florida, he certainly held those kinds of views. From the Daily Beast of March 1st of 2018, an article by Dean Obidala, O-B-E-I-D-A-L-L-A-H, Nicholas Cruz was a racist. Does that make his attack terrorism? Skipping down. When I first heard of this development, meaning the Parkland, Florida high school shooting. When I first heard of this development, my jaw dropped for two reasons. Does anyone actually believe it? Let me begin with the first paragraph. On Tuesday, we learned a new bone-chilling fact about the Parkland, Florida high school gunman Nicholas Cruz that should have made national headlines but did not. The new development was that Cruz had etched swastikas on the ammunition magazines he carried on the day he committed his brutal massacre that took 17 lives. Recall the etchings that Patrick Edward Purdy had on his weapon as well, Aryan Nation's graffiti. Continuing with this Daily Beast article of March 1st. When I first heard of this development, my jaw dropped for two reasons. First, does anyone actually believe if Cruz had etched the words Allah Akbar on his gun magazines, we would not have heard about that for nearly 2 weeks after the attack? No way. I can assure you that information would have been made public intentionally or by way of a leak. And then Donald Trump would almost certainly have pounced without waiting for additional evidence to label this an Islamic terror attack and try to use it to further his own political agenda. But what also was shocking is that despite this new piece of evidence, together with Cruz's known history of hate directed at people of color and Jews, we are not seeing a fuller discussion in the media about whether this shooting was inspired by Cruz's apparent white supremacist ideology. As CNN had reported, within days of the February 14th attack, Cruz had in the past spewed vile comments in a private Instagram chat room where he shared his hatred of, quote, Jews, niggers, and immigrants, unquote. Cruz also wrote about killing Mexicans and hating black people simply because of their skin color, and he slammed Jews because in his twisted way they wanted to destroy the world. And Cruz's white supremacist views also made their way from the online world to the real world. One of Cruz's classmates reportedly told a social worker that Cruz had brought a swastika on his book back next to the words, I hate niggers, unquote. He also shared with other students his, quote, hating on, unquote, Islam and slamming all Muslims as terrorists and bombers, unquote. And Cruz was also seen wearing a Trump Make America Great Again hat when he was enrolled in school well before the attack. Well, initial reports that Cruz was actually a member of a white supremacist group proved to be unfounded. I think that is a little premature. There is no disputing Cruz's documented history of spewing despicable views that line up with the white nationalist ideology. But still, given all that we've now learned, the question is, how much more evidence do we need before we discuss in earnest whether Cruz's white supremacist views played a role in this attack? And bear in mind again that Jordan Gerob himself said, yep, this guy is a member of our group, and it is not a large group. How do you walk back that statement? Oh, he wasn't actually a member of our group. I read about that on a false posting in a chat group. That is not, in my opinion, credible. Skipping down in the Daily Beast story, more about Nicholas Cruz. And the swastikas on Cruz's gun magazines take on a greater significance when you examine the shooting itself. Of the 17 people Cruz killed, at least 5 were Jewish. Some reports note it could be 6. Even more disturbing is that Cruz had reportedly shot bullets into a Holocaust history class that killed 2 of those students. Did Cruz intentionally target that class since he had formerly been a student at the school? We don't know, but given Cruz's history, this is certainly a fair question. And since he's that rare mass shooter who is still alive, I presume he'll be asked. I wouldn't bet on that. In fact, the question of whether Cruz's gun massacre was an anti-Semitic act inspired by a white supremacist ideology was raised in an op-ed in the liberal Israeli newspaper Haaretz, even before we learned about the swastikas on Cruz's gun magazines. There, the writer noted that Cruz had expressed views, quote, that Jews were part of a conspiracy to unseat white people from power and destroy the world, unquote. In response to that article, the writer was subjected to an avalanche of vile anti-Semitic barbs. By the way, I would note in that regard, before we continue with the discussion, that many of the students at Parkland who have mobilized or become active in connection with not only the gun control movement, but generally calling attention to school shootings, they have been vilified by the far right. I'm not going to go into it in detail, but the Washington Post of February 27th of 2018 has an article by Abby Ohlheiser, O-H-L-H-E-I-S-E-R, How Parkland Teens Became Villains on the Right-Wing Internet. And it talks about various things, claiming that there were crisis actors and generally defaming and attacking the Parkland students who had come forward after the shooting. That also attempts at discrediting those students, would also discredit their views or their expressed experience with Nicholas Cruz, that, yep, he was a white supremacist, and in some cases that he was associated with the Republic of Florida. Returning to the Daily Beast article, given these newly revealed swastikas, it's long overdue that we have that conversation about whether Cruz was more than a troubled youth. And to be clear, Cruz was troubled. He had been repeatedly disciplined at school for disturbing behavior and for a period of time was placed in a special school for kids with emotional and behavior issues. On social media, he even wrote about his dream of becoming a, quote, professional school shooter. And that is more than a little interesting. A couple of interesting things, both in connection with the James Mason / Siege advocacy of lone wolf / leaderless resistance massacres as a manifestation of Viking berserker rage. A couple of things to note here. First of all, various Nazi groups, quote, alt-right groups, what have you, are not only advocating school shootings in a big way, they are doing so online and using gaming chat apps to do so. An interesting article about this from Newsweek from March 17th of 2018, an article by Michael Edison Hayden, H-Y-D-E-N, Neo-Nazis and, quote, future school shooters, unquote, using leading gaming app to post hateful content in hundreds of groups. Report. There was a report about this. This reads in part, a leading gaming app that is popular with adherents of the neo-Nazi wing of the alt-right movement has at least 173 groups dedicated to the glorification of school shootings, according to a report published last week by Reveal News. One more time. A leading gaming app that is popular with adherents of the neo-Nazi wing of the alt-right movement has at least 173 groups dedicated to the glorification of school shootings, according to a report published last week by Reveal News. Separately, dozens of neo-Nazi groups have cultivated active communities on that same gaming app. The report notes that these STEAM groups, that's STEAM, which typically have between 30 and 200 active members, glorify men like 22-year-old Elliot Roger, who killed 6 people and injured over a dozen others in the vicinity of the campus of the University of California, Santa Barbara, before committing suicide in 2014. Roger was a virulent misogynist and wanted to punish women for rejecting him. Other shooters like Sung Hui Cho, the Virginia Tech senior who killed 32 people in 2007, are also hailed in these STEAM groups. The groups have names like School Shooters Are Heroes and Shoot Up a School, unquote. Some of them allude to, quote, future, unquote, school shootings yet to take place and are filled with racist language. One more time, these last couple of sentences. The groups have names like, quote, School Shooters Are Heroes, unquote, and, quote, Shoot Up a School, unquote. Some of them allude to, quote, future, unquote, school shootings yet to take place and are filled with racist language. The link between violence and the scattered culture of Internet Nazism has received greater scrutiny in recent weeks following a CBS News report that suspected Parkland, Florida mass shooter Nicholas Cruz allegedly possessed gun magazines engraved with swastikas. Gaming apps like Steam had become increasingly popular within that community. One example of neo-Nazis using Steam is Andrew Weave Auernheimer, who handles the technical side of the white supremacist troll website Daily Stormer, and so who's and several months ago appeared to, quote, threaten to slaughter Jewish children, unquote, in retaliation for a website being taken offline. One example of neo-Nazis using Steam is Andrew Weave Auernheimer, who handles the technical side of the white supremacist troll website Daily Stormer, and several months ago appeared to threaten to, quote, slaughter, unquote, Jewish children in retaliation for his website being taken offline. Auernheimer appears to have a group on the app which discusses gains in the context of whether they portray Adolf Hitler in a favorable light. The broader community of Daily Stormer also appears to have an active community on Steam called Storm Sect, unquote, with roughly 200 members. Other neo-Nazi groups on Steam have more overtly hateful and violent names like Fag Lynch Squad, unquote, which depicts shadowy figures hanging limply from nooses in its profile picture, Adam Waffen Division, a neo-Nazi group linked to a number of murders, had its community on Steam removed earlier this month, Revealed News reported. By the way, I would note that a member of the Adam Waffen group allegedly killed a gay University of Pennsylvania student earlier this year. Continuing with the article here from Newsweek, Angela Nagel, a leftist writer, demonstrated links between the origins of the alt-right and gaming culture in her book, Kill All Normies, Online Culture Wars from 4chan and Tumblr to Trump and the Alt-Right. The veneration of school shooters and other killers is similarly linked. It is not only on Steam where neo-Nazis have found a platform within the gaming world. Discord, another gaming app, was instrumental to young neo-Nazis in planning the Unite the Right event that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, last August, which led to the death of counter-protester Heather Heyer. Discord has made efforts to remove violent and far-right content from its app following reports of the rally, but new groups continue to pop up on that platform. Unicorn Riot, a volunteer media collective, published recordings and messages this week that appeared to reveal internal planning discussions from the young white supremacist group Patriot Front, which were initially hosted on Discord. Patriot Front splintered from Vanguard America, the group in which the man accused of killing Heyer allegedly marched during the protests in Charlottesville. The point here being that Nazi groups, elements of the quote alt-right, unquote, I hate that term, but they are actively glorifying school shooting. They are talking about future school shooters. Whether or not Nicholas Cruz came in contact with one of these groups is certainly something to consider. It certainly seems altogether possible. I would also note, in connection with our discussion of Patrick Edward Purdy back in 1989, that the behavior of Nicholas Cruz, who certainly appears to have been very troubled, had been reported to various authorities, including the FBI, but nobody took any action, whether that was due to bureaucratic fumbling or whether there was something more sinister involved is a matter of speculation, but I don't think that should go unmentioned.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
Now, again, Nicholas Cruz was certainly a very troubled individual. Pair what I'm about to talk about with the glorification of school shootings by various online Nazi slash white supremacist slash alt-right unquote groups. From the Outline blog of February 26th of 2018, an article by Paris Martineau, M-A-R-T-I-N-E-A-U, the alt-right is recruiting depressed people. Skipping down. Type depression, unquote, or, quote, depressed, unquote, into YouTube, and it won't be long until you stumble upon a suit-clad white supremacist giving a lecture on self-empowerment. They are everywhere. For years, members of the alt-right have taken advantage of the Internet's most vulnerable, turning their fear and self-loathing into vitriolic extremism, and, thanks to the movement's recent galvanization, they are only growing stronger. Last couple sentences for emphasis. Type depression or depressed into YouTube, and it won't be long until you stumble upon a suit-clad white supremacist giving a lecture on self-empowerment. They're everywhere. For years, members of the alt-right have taken advantage of the Internet's most vulnerable, turning their fear and self-loathing into vitriolic extremism, and thanks to the movement's recent galvanization, they are only growing stronger. And again, dovetail this with 173 groups glorifying school shooting and enthusiastically anticipating more school shooters. Continuing, quote, I still wonder how could I have been so stupid, unquote, writes Reddit user U.P. Despereaux, that's his online name, in the post detailing how he was accidentally seduced by the alt-right. Quote, I was part of a cult. I know cults, and I know brainwashing. Think about Patrick Edward Purdy and his links with the Moonies, among others. Beginning again. Quote, I was part of a cult. I know cults, and I know brainwashing. I have researched them extensively. You'd think I would have noticed, right? Wrong. These are the same tactics that Scientology and ISIS use, and I fell for them like a chump, unquote. Quote, nobody is talking about how the online depression community has been infiltrated by alt-right recruiters deliberately preying on the vulnerable, unquote, writes Twitter user Mr. Happy Die Happy in a thread on the issue. Quote, again, quoting, there need to be public warnings about this. Online pals, unquote, have attempted to groom me multiple times when at my absolute lowest, unquote. So again, more about this below. Think about people who are vulnerable. Nicholas Cruz, did he come in contact with one of the 173 different alt-right groups celebrating school shooting? Was he cultivated because he was depressed and had basically indicated his, well, not disorder, but his state of mind to people online? I would note in this regard something else. And for the record, 968, we discussed how Facebook was deliberately singling out users who suffered from depression to target them for ads. Might Cambridge Analytica or a group of that kind have done something similar from Facebook or other social media and then taken that one step further, perhaps cultivated them as future school shooters or whatever, again, taking advantage of them online as being depressed, depressed users? That is something to bear in mind here. When you get the deliberate online recruiting and manipulation of depressed people or people suffering from psychological disorder, and when you then consider the use of gaming chat apps and 173 different groups celebrating school shooters, you have a truly potent brew here indeed. And I think that to an extent, the discussion of mind control becomes almost obviated under the circumstance. Mind control in terms of the things we discussed in anti-fascist archive shows 5, 6, and 7 become really irrelevant when you can use the internet to recruit for and celebrate school shooters and then to recruit depressed people to that point of view. Mind control becomes almost irrelevant. Skipping down in that very same article. According to Christian Picciolini, P-I-C-C-I-O-L-I-N-I, a former neo-Nazi who co-founded the peace advocacy organization Life After Hate, these sort of recruiting tactics aren't just common, but systematically enforced. The recruiters are actively looking for these kinds of broken individuals who they can promise acceptance, who they can promise identity to, Picciolini said in an interview with Sam Saver. And skipping down, some of the most toxic unofficial alt-right communities online have operated on this principle. You bet. And if you take, again, the tactic of actively recruiting depressed people to the Nazi slash white supremacist slash alt-right point of view, and when you dovetail that with the open celebration on the part of 173 different groups of school shootings and their advocacy for doing this again in the future, you have a truly potent brew. To what extent Nicholas Cruz was involved with some of this, I think, is a question that needs to be asked. But again, as noted in the Washington Post article of February 27th of 2018, this article by Abby Olheiser, how Parkland teens became villains on the right-wing internet, I wouldn't expect that to happen. The opening paragraph here, less than a week after 17 people died in Parkland, Florida, right-wing provocateur Dinesh D'Souza began taunting some of the teenage survivors of the massacre. Worst, quote, worst news since their parents told them to get summer jobs, he tweeted on February 20th, commenting on a photo showing Parkland survivors crying as state legislators voted down a bill to ban military-style weapons. And They've been attacked on 8chan. The article is excerpted at much greater length in the written description. For the Record 1003.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
Now, again, note one of the ironies of the current conspiratorial landscape. Elements of the conspiratorial view that I surfaced 30 years ago in the material that was included in M55 have now become part of the conspiratorial outlook of people that are capitalizing on the school shootings. From the Miami New Times, February 27th of 2018, by Jerry Iannelli, I-A-N-N-E-L-L-I, armed extremist militias want to patrol schools after the Parkland shooting. After the school massacre in Parkland 2 weeks ago, Mark Cowan, a grizzled man in Fort Wayne, Indiana, began standing outside the town's North Side High School with a handgun and an AR-15 in his car. As a local TV station reported last Friday, Cowan is one of 100 heavily armed, ideologically extreme oath keepers, unquote, who have committed to standing guard, unquote, outside Indiana schools to stop events like the Stoneman Douglas shooting from happening. The Oath Keepers are a fringe right-wing paramilitary group made up of former veterans and law enforcement officers who believe in, quote, defending the Constitution, unquote, against perceived threats, which basically just means gun control laws. I would note that the Oath Keepers lent a lot of support to Cleveland Bundy's standoff with federal authorities, and they are to be noted. The rest of this story highlights their right wing and, although they deny it, their white nationalist outlook, not an official ideology, but a de facto ideology. I would note that they are opposed to gun control legislation because they feel that it would basically permit the implementation of death camps and other things. I would note that the martial law contingency plans that were put on the books by Oliver North and Company in the 1980s, and which, according to Peter Dale Scott in his most recent book about the deep state, remain on the books, call for the federal deputization of just this type of individual. Groups like the Oath Keepers or Aryan Nations groups, organizations of that kind, will be recruited as enforcers for the martial law contingency plans. That was one of the many ironies of a part of the, again, the conspiratorial outlook that I accessed in Miscellaneous Archive Show N55 and that I came back to in For the Record 1002. For perspective on this, I think the lecture, The Militia Movement, Enemies or Pawns of the State Should Be Accessed. It is more than a little ironic. I will also note again, and although this will not be politically correct, in the event of the partial or wholesale realization and implementation of those martial law contingency plans, which involve the federal deputization of these very same types of elements, they will have AR-15s and other weapons, and they are trained in how to use them. It would not surprise me if some of the individuals and groups who are ultimately subject to their rule might wish to have enough firepower to at least keep them at arm's length, pun intended. So again, please note that, again, part of the very same conspiratorial view that I expressed in For the Record N55 is now incorporated into the conspiratorial worldview of some of the very same paramilitary right-wingers who will be deputized in the event of the implementation of the very martial law that they are warning against. Another point about this, I'm not going to read the article, but it is in the description for the Record 1003 from Talking Points Memo of February 26th of 2018, an article by Allegra Kirkland. Oath Keepers want to station volunteer armed guards outside schools, unquote. This notes basically that Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the group, by the way, educated at Yale, if I'm not mistaken. This guy is no dummy. He's saying to go ahead and do it because it's legal and even the people complain. Well, again, it is legal. So I would note that. Again, it is more than a little ironic that the conspiratorial worldview they are expressing is at one with what will happen, basically. Not at one with, but they are warning about martial law, and yet the implementation of those plans calls for the deputization of these very same elements. And for people that think this is, well, way out, couldn't happen here, absolutely impossible, I would note that the people whom we are supporting now in Ukraine, the various OUNB successor organizations that came to power through the Maidan coup, February of 2014, and that had been reintroduced into Ukraine under the Free Congress Foundation's programs in the late 1980s and early 1990s, and that were then accelerated greatly by the Orange Revolution in 2004. These very same elements, including the Azov Battalion that John Conyers was warning about and opposing before he was removed as part of the hashtag MeToo movement, these very same elements are indeed being introduced as basically order-keeping militia in Ukraine. An article by Josh Cohen from Reuters of March 19th of 2018, commentary, Ukraine's neo-Nazi problem. And I would note that one of the groups that is being incorporated as militia, basically in order to keep order, is the C-14 or Combat 14 group, excerpting this article. The Kiev city government recently signed an agreement giving C-14 or Combat 14, the militia literally named after the white supremacist 14-word slogan, the right to establish a, quote, municipal guard, unquote, to patrol the streets there. Quote, but connections between law enforcement agencies and extremists give Ukraine's Western allies ample reason for concern. C-14, or Combat 14, and Kiev's city government recently signed an agreement allowing C-14 to establish a municipal guard, unquote, to patrol the streets of Kiev, Ukraine's capital. Three such militia-run guard forces are already registered in Kiev, and at least 21 others operate in other cities. The 14 words, by the way, from which Combat 14 or C-14 takes their name, were minted by David Lane. David Lane was a member of the Order who drove the getaway car for the killers of Denver talk show host Alan Berg. He has become something of an international hero to elements of the Nazi movement and the militia of the Sloboda Party, one of the OUNB successor organizations that came to power in Ukraine. Their militia is C-14 or Combat 14, named after the 14 words minted by David Lane. In the beginning of Miscellaneous Archive Show M55, we read an article that from the taped segment from January 22nd of 1989, in which a founding member of the order, following his conviction for possessing stolen mummies, was discovered to have been involved with an order subgroup looking to obtain advanced weaponry and also to implement mind control. It was that very same group, the order, to which the late David Lane belonged. He is now an international hero. And the militia in Ukraine, the Combat 14 militia, again, reading this, quote, but connections between law enforcement agencies and extremists give Ukraine's Western allies ample reason for concern. C-14 and Kiev's city government recently signed an agreement allowing Combat 14 to establish a municipal guard, unquote, to patrol the streets. Three such militia-run guard forces are already registered in Kiev, and at least 21 operate in other cities. So the notion that something like this could happen here is not nearly as far-fetched as one might suppose. Certainly those kinds of elements are already functioning as order keepers, so to speak, in cities in Ukraine with the support of the U.S. and the Azov Battalion, which is a major focal point of these militias and of dissent by people like John Conyers. When he was a member of Congress, the Azov Battalion is a major focal point or a major contact element for these very same the very same paramilitary right-wingers and militias. We will go into this at much greater length in our next program when we update the march, I guess one could say, of fascism in Ukraine. This article, again, we will be accessing in that program from Reuters of March 19th of 2018, an article by Josh Cohen. Commentary, Ukraine's neo-Nazi problem. Well, that may very well be happening here in the U.S. as well. Again, note that the public schools have long been under attack in this country. They were attacked for the integration edict coming down from the Supreme Court. They have been attacked over the banning of prayer in public schools, the implementation of various things ranging from sex education to tolerance programs such as apparently the Holocaust history class in the Florida school that was shot up by Nicholas Cruz. Public schools have long been a focal point of ire on the far right and implemented by the GOP. We have Betsy DeVos, yea, verily, as I speak, basically fostering the same sort of diminishing or denigration of the value of public education and public schools. Indeed, if it gets to the point where people are homeschooling their children or sending them to private schools, the sort of civic conditioning, so to speak, or civic awareness that can come from people going to public schools and becoming familiar with other types of people from other cultures and learning to at least tolerate, if not like them, that is something that will be dissipated in enormous fashion by the disintegration of public education. And I think the school shootings should be looked at in that regard. And in the miscellaneous archive show M55, and for the record 1002, I talked about mind control. Certainly the Aryan Nations and the Order, to which David Lane, the mentor of the 14 words, belonged, were looking for mind control techniques. They may very well have obtained such capabilities. I think, though, with gaming app chat groups glorifying not only Nazism, but with 173 different groups glorifying school shooters, and with these types of groups and individuals actively recruiting depressed people, mind control becomes almost irrelevant. If they could be recruited and then targeted with the kind of technology that Cambridge Analytica mobilized on behalf of Trump, they could then be further indoctrinated by bots or programmed by bots to go off and do this kind of thing. Certainly, the use of bots on the internet is epidemic, and I would not dismiss the possibility of something like that happening. In any event, this concludes, for the record, 1003, School Shootings and Fascist Groups, Part 2. This is being recorded on March 27th of the year 2018. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.